Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you back with us today as we are kind of wrapping up our week, hopping around Hebrews a little bit, Hebrews 1, and we've been in Hebrews 2 the last couple of days. And yesterday, I encourage you to go back and listen to our show. We started with Psalm 39, and it was really a cry from David's heart about his own sin and really placing our longings before God. And I know for me, we were discussing that so often when I'm falling into sin and I'm choosing sin, I'm responding out of a longing of my own heart. And so I just loved how David yesterday, and I'm bringing that again into today, was saying, Lord, I place the longings of my heart before you. How my heart is bare before you. And then we started getting into Hebrews chapter 2 and talking about how everything has been subjected to Jesus. And although we can't see it, we can't see how he's conquered everything because the world is in chaos, but this beautiful writing of Paul says we see Jesus. We can't see everything, but we see Jesus, and that is enough. Amen? Amen. So we're going to continue on with Hebrews chapter 2 today, but first we're going to begin in Psalm 40. We're going to read a little bit of Psalm 40, pray, let our hearts rise to the Lord as we enter into our time together. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and he gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burn offerings and sin offerings you did not require. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is written on my heart. This is a long psalm. There's a lot more there, but we can continue. You can continue on in your own prayer time. Lord, as we come before you and dive into your word, we wait patiently on you. We know that those who wait on you, that you will renew their strength. And Lord, today we praise you for what you will do, for what you've already done to us, that you've taken us out of the pit of sin, that you've redeemed us, that you've poured your love out on us. Father, that you sent your Son for us, that you set our feet upon a rock, that you've given us a firm place to stand, that you've put a new song in our mouth. We thank you, Lord. We look to you for the wonders that you have done. Echo those wonders today in our hearts. Show us greater wonders than the works you have already done. And we ask this in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love the contrast between the psalm yesterday and the psalm today. It was David saying, I'm laying my sin before you. My guilt is too much to bear. Lord, come. Come and see the longings of my heart. And then he says, now that I've waited patiently for you, you heard me. You heard my cry. You lifted me out of the pit. And this is the reality every time, friends, we turn to the Lord in repentance, whether it's a small sin or a big sin, whatever it is, when we turn to him, he hears our cry and he lifts us out of the pit. When we repent, he, no matter what, he sets our feet upon the rocks. This is what the Lord has done for you today. He's given you a strong foundation and he's making you new. Praise the Lord. So good. So good. So let's continue on here with Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to start again at verse 8. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside of his control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one origin. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim my name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here I am and the children God has given me. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same nature, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through the fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. I'm going to stop there because there's a lot to unpack. So we talked about everything is in subjection to him. And it continues on. It says it was fitting that he, talking about Jesus, for whom and by whom all things exist. I just want to stop there because before we dig in deeper theologically, just like this casual sentence, for him, whom for all things and by all things were made. Jesus, the one who comes down, who bears the stamp of the nature of God and the nature of man, the one who dies. All things were made through him and for him. This is who he is. He's so majestic. He's so glorious. He's the only Son of God. And Paul says this because it makes what he is about to say so amazing and powerful and humble. He says, reminder, he died for you. Who is the one who died for you? The one through whom the whole earth was made. This is how great he is. This is how powerful he is. Do not forget. He, Jesus, for whom and by whom all things exist right now, the very things that he died for, the very ones that he died for, he created. In Colossians 1, it says, all things exist through him and without him, nothing was made. Everything is through him and in him and with him. He is so far above it all. He is altogether like us, but he is altogether different because he is crowned with honor and glory. So why is that important? Because he continues on. He says, in bringing many sons to glory should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through suffering. Who is the pioneer of our salvation? He brings many sons, us, to glory. He brings us out of the mire and the dirt into the very glory of God. And he is the pioneer of our salvation. Jesus, as the pioneer of our salvation, is made perfect through suffering. How can Jesus be made perfect? Isn't he the one? Didn't you just say that all things were made through him and everything exists for him? Right? It says Jesus, the church teaches us that Jesus isn't made perfect in moral virtue. He's not made perfect in that way where he needs to be more moral. But it says, but in his office through suffering, right? Christ's perfection through suffering completes his mission as high priest. It doesn't imply a moral defect or deficit, but liturgical and redemptive fulfillment. So Jesus is the pioneer. He's the first to go through. He's the first as a man to go into heaven. And he's in another place, Paul says he became obedient through suffering. And so Jesus, not as the one who needs to be morally perfected, but as the office of the high priest, he comes down and he is the new high priest. He is the leader of the human race. He is the first man to enter into glory. And in this office as a high priest, he completes his mission. His mission needed to be perfected. And so Jesus, the one whom everything was made through, comes and humbles himself so much that the office of high priest through him is made perfect through suffering. And I love that the pioneer of our salvation, the first one to do it. What are the pioneers? They went out and they found new land in America, right? They went out and they found undiscovered land. That's what we talk about the pioneers. They're like in their covered wagons. They go out and they go where no one has ever gone before. This is what's so powerful about this. Jesus as the pioneer. Jesus goes where no man has gone before. This is why he becomes man. So he can bring man where the human race has not yet gone. The human race has not gone into glory. And so Jesus submits himself to suffering so that the human race can be made perfect through suffering, so that the pioneer, the first to do it, can take us where we've never gone before. And now for the human race, for each and every human heart, the promised land is open to you and to me. And Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father as the pioneer so that we can go there too. He takes us where we have never been before. It says, for he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one origin. He comes and he says, I am going to become a man. We come from the same place. We share flesh and blood. Friends, this is the amazing thing about the ascension, that Jesus takes human flesh into heaven. No one before Jesus has gone into heaven. He goes where no man goes before. He makes it possible. This is an amazing reality. We need the Holy Spirit to stir our hearts that Jesus became so humble. The one through whom everything is subject to him suffers. He suffers. And he brings human flesh, sinful human flesh that's made perfect through his suffering. His flesh wasn't sinful. He was not sinful, but the flesh of the whole human race. The flesh of all who are wounded by the sin of Adam. Again, hear me again. Jesus was not sinful, but he takes on him. He takes with him the fall of the entire human race. And he says, this broken, mutilated flesh, this flesh that was meant to be in glory all along, this beautiful flesh, I'm going to make it whole again. I'm going to suffer and die. And I'm going to come to earth and I'm going to be flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. I'm going to be of the same human origin in some ways of those who have sinned against me, so that I can take their brokenness and make it whole, so that I can go where no man has gone before. In your life, no matter what sins you've done, no matter what's going on, Jesus has already gone before you. He's already made you perfect through what he suffered. And he just wants you to receive that glory. He wants you to take each step every day to follow him into the glory of the kingdom of God, where he has already gone. He's the perfect pioneer. He's the one that's gone exploring before us. He's gone in that covered wagon up to heaven to say, this is new territory that I'm staking for the human race. This now belongs to you. It is your rightful place to be with God. Thank you so much for being with me, friends. Join us again tomorrow in this last day as we wrap up Hebrews chapter 2. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.